You know me, I'm always excited to preach, but what I'm excited about is we have two brothers that are going to share their testimony regarding what the Lord's done in their lives in 2023. And so first, Raul is going to come up, and Frank will follow him, and then I'll be back after that.
Hey, everybody. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Raul. Some of you may have heard my testimony in July. So 2023 for me has been a year of growth in my relationship with the Lord and getting saved. Just to give a quick overview of my background, a lot of, you know, growing up, I felt outcasted. I dealt with a lot of depression, anxiety, not feeling good enough, you know, broken relationships, broken friendships. Just feeling like, you know, a lot of self-loathing. You know, as that transitioned into my teenage years, you know, that worsened. And then, of course, in adulthood, other things, you know, became open to me. You know, alcohol, drugs, partying, you know, other sins of the world. So I was, you know, consumed with all of that. So the Lord this year has just really done a lot of work in my life. He has shown me that I am worthy. His love is everlasting. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't judge us. He just wants our heart. So once I understood, you know, that, you know, I had hit a wit's end, I needed help, he was the answer for me. And he's changed my life in a lot of ways. You know, some of the bigger things that he's done for me has been curing my addiction. You know, I haven't had a drink. I haven't done any drugs. I've been sober for about a year and a half now. And that's by the grace of God, because I've tried many times throughout my years and I haven't been able to do that on my own. So it's just by the grace of the Lord that you know, I've come that far and been able to have it stick. So he's completely removed that craving for me. In terms of, you know, my depression, anxiety, he's definitely helped me in that regard in my life. You know, I still struggle with that sometimes here and there, but you know, I've learned to really lean on him and seek his understanding and his comfort. Instead of seeking that comfort in others or seeking that comfort in substances. So, you know, that's really been a big change for me. And he's just, you know, elevated me too. He's elevated me in terms of providing opportunity, just career-wise. He's helped me, you know, regain my independence, being financially independent. He's also just really given me knowledge and the ability to connect with others and bring them, or at least plant seeds to, you know, help them, you know, seek the Lord as well. So those are some of the great things that he's done for me in my life this year. I'm truly grateful for that. You know, with all those great things, of course, you know, there's still challenges. I remember when I first got saved, everybody said, get ready, especially after baptism, because they say that's when you're going to start getting hit. And it has, you know, to be honest, you know, I've had health issues, you know, that have been taking place this past year. I've had ups and downs with career. You know, I've also had some financial issues as well. You know, but I've, you know, stayed strong in the Lord, and he has provided and he has answered. You know, and one of the great things that I've, you know, come to learn about, you know, the trials that he puts us through is you're never alone. It may feel like you're alone, but you're never alone. He'll really have you look, you know, inside yourself and really realize what the root of a lot of those issues are. So I've been grateful for that because he's shown me a lot. So you know, what came down to a lot of what I was going through was just my reluctancy to fully trust in the Lord, to fully, you know, give control over to him, whether it was my health. You know, that was really probably one of the biggest challenges for me just because I haven't really had any health issues. So, you know, that fear of the unknown and then not being able to really, you know, make things happen myself, I had to kind of sit back and just trust in him and really lean on him. So that was a really big challenge for me, but that really just showed me that, you know, I'm powerless. I can't do anything on my own. Like, I have to seek him, and he's the one that's going to provide. So that was a really, you know, big eye-opener for me. And then career-wise, too, you know, some of you know that I've been at the county now for about 9 months. It's not exactly where, you know, I want to be, but, you know, I to just give context, you know, I've had, you know, five different final round interviews. I've made top two in each one of them, and I still hadn't landed anything. So, you know, for me personally, I was just getting frustrated and asking him, Lord, why are you keeping me here? You know, I'm, you know, X, Y, and Z is not going good. I'm just really unhappy. But then he answered, and, you know, I was planting seeds in my coworkers, and some of you even met Joel, one of my coworkers that came here. And then my other coworker, Samantha, I've been ministering to them, helping them kind of seek and want to get to know the Lord a little bit more. So, you know, everything has a purpose, whether it's from our own understanding or not. Sometimes his ways are not our ways, and he knows what's best for us, and he's going to place us, you know, where we need to be at the right time, and we're going to be doing his will, not ours. So having to learn humility in that, you know, situation has really been, you know, big for me, and then being patient as well. And again, it comes back to, you know, serving him and not serving self. That's another realization that he gave me. But, you know, outside of those challenges, you know, there's been a lot of great things that he's done for us, especially me. And we tend to forget that sometimes because, you know, we focus on what we don't have. So we focus on maybe not having that relationship we want, or we focus on not having that job or the house or the car, or kind of what society deems as important to make us feel valued. And so we lose track of, you know, what we should be focusing on. So, you know, a verse that the Lord has really put on my heart that's been pretty relevant, you know, for the past couple months has been Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all will be added to you. That's pretty much the epitome, I think, that a lot of us go through is, you know, we lose track of why we're doing things, and sometimes our subconscious can overshadow our own desires that we want fleshly, and that's why we tend to get frustrated, and it stems from pride and not being in control and wanting things when we want them. Again, it's not what we want, and it's not on our time. It's what the Lord wants and on his own time, and again, he will provide. We just need to trust in him and ask him and lean on him. And I think that's probably been the biggest lesson for me in 2023 is just to continue to put him first and at the center of my life, and he will provide. It may not always be in the way that I want, but it's going to be what's best for me at that time. So, yeah, that's my story for 2023. Thank you.
Wow, what a great testimony of what the Lord has done in Raul's life. And really, who can deny that power in his life? We're going through a series on the wonders of God. And when we think about that, our testimony is really an example of the wonders of God, that God would send his only begotten Son into this world. He would send heaven's best to save this world's worst. Isn't that amazing? I was very excited this morning to come up here and share my testimony and to really talk about what the Lord has done in my life. And, you know, I've been through so many trials and so many struggles, but through this, God has caused me to just really be humble and to really stay focused on him. And preparing for my testimony this week, I was really spiritually blessed and thankful as I really searched deep into my heart on God's goodness and his faithfulness to me. It says in Acts 13:15, Paul tells us, if you have any message of encouragement for the people, please speak it. So as I prayerfully consider what I was going to share today, my hope is that everybody here would be encouraged and to see how the Lord was working in my life. James 1:2-4 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. 2023 has been a great year, but it's been a year of some difficult times. But even in the difficult times, I was able to find joy because I knew that the Lord was working in my life, and it was for his purpose and his plan and for his glory. One of the blessings that the Lord has blessed me with this year is my daughter Mariah. She is engaged to get married. And for me, that was a great joy for me because it really opened the door for me to have a deep father-daughter relationship with her. And we've really grown and bonded together. And, you know, I was able to be that light to her, to share the gospel with her. And before, she would always push back. But now she willingly sits there and listens to see what I have to say to her. Even my son, you know, God has really opened the door for us to, to get together and really work out together. And he also is willing to hear what I have to say to him. Actually, he's here today. He came here to support his dad, and I'm just really encouraged about that. Praise God for that. Another blessing that the Lord has blessed me with is my two grandchildren, Mila, who's also here today, and her brother, Fernie. And this is my grandchildren from my oldest son, Fernando. And, you know, being grandparents, we have struggles and we have challenges, you know, being in our senior years, especially when I come home from work and my little granddaughter thinks I'm a jungle gym and a bounce house, you know, but that really is a blessing in and of itself. But even on a serious note, you know, Inez and I have faced some very deep and personal issues with them as we really considered having full custody of them. But through this, the Lord has given us much grace and strength and guidance and a great peace as we continue to trust him in this situation. Another challenge we've had this year was my wife, Inez. She had knee surgery, and this is one of three, and she's possibly going through another knee replacement. But you know, the Lord has been faithful to us as we recognize that we really are dependent upon him, and we're not really in control. And through this, the Lord has really given us peace and guidance and really good counsel through the church, and it's really helped us out. So, just really thankful for that. One of the darkest things I had to face this year, as all of you know, is our passing of our dear brother, Sean Dawkins. You know, Sean and I were very dear friends, and I really struggled to understand such a difficult situation. But through this, the Lord used that to really recognize how much I need him and how much comfort he gives me, even in the deepest, darkest times of my life. And, you know, I can rejoice in that because one day I know that I'm going to see him again. And it's not a goodbye, but it's just, I'll see you later. One of the challenges that the Lord brought to me this year was being able to lead a Bible study and a discussion group. And this was really something that I really felt uncomfortable with because I felt like I wasn't adequate, you know. But as I trusted the Lord, he revealed just a deeper understanding of who he is. And this is where I really was able to grow spiritually quite a bit as I got into his word and studied his word. So I'm just really thankful for this privilege to be able to have this ministry. So thinking back about the things of 2023, the things that I believe that the Lord taught me was really patience. Not really trusting in my own ways, knowing that his ways are perfect and his timing's perfect. And it says in Scripture, be still and know that I am God. So that's one of the things I've learned. Also, a sacrificial and unconditional love to serve others. And really a stronger relationship with the Lord as I learned to trust him more and just keep to get a deeper understanding of who he is. In Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who have been called according to his purpose. So one of the things I want to focus on is the word purpose. You know, the Lord has, I'm just really privileged that the Lord has used me, and I'm really looking forward to be used of him for the next year and to just really know his will and his purpose in my life. And it's really not about me. It's all to the glory of him. Thank you.
Well, I guess you can turn this one off. Yeah, thank you. Like people have said in the past, you after a couple of powerful testimonies like that, you just want to close and say, okay, amen, and close in prayer. But we've got a little bit of time that I'd like to share with you. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23, we're going to look at 14 verses, not real in depth, but we're going to see what God has for us. You know, we just have been coming through the God of wonders. We saw the God of wonders in creation. We saw the God of wonders in the church. And we even saw the God of wonders in his birth last week. And today what we want to do is we want to think about, you know, even the testimonies that were shared and think about what God has done in 2023 and look forward to 2024 with the same God of wonders that we've been studying about. You know, what has happened? There's been a few things mentioned. You know, there's been some very difficult things that have happened. We're a small church, and we take hits pretty hard. You know, losing Sean Dawkins was a brutal hit for all of us. Very, very difficult. You know, some of you have battled health issues, and some very severe, very difficult health issues. Some have lost family members. You know, how about the world? We've got two major wars going on. It's pretty unsettling. Or if you just think about the economy and how inflation is like we've never experienced in years. A lot of difficult things have happened in 2023. And I'll be honest, my tendency as I was thinking through this was to not mention the difficulties, but I don't think that would be fair. But there's been a lot of blessings. You heard Raul. You know, souls have been saved. I think that's a wonderful thing. I love that Elizabeth Lee, when I was telling her about people that have gotten saved, she says, how is that? That's so wonderful. How is it that just in a couple of years, a good handful of people have come to know Christ? And we know how that is because the Lord's great, and he's all about saving souls. You know, how about our park day? Our park day was great. You know, week after week during the summer, we set a precedent in the community and really had a lot of people come out to it at different times. And it wasn't even always the same people. We always had great crowds of visitors that joined us. Then I think of VBS. VBS was amazing. It was just such a wonderful, successful opportunity that we had to, again, reach out to the community and to their children. And then we just had the Christmas presentation. Whoever heard of meatball evangelism? The gospel was preached very clearly. It was preached very clearly, and we had not one or two, but we had a large number of visitors come and hear the gospel. This place was pretty full, and it was very encouraging. You know, some people got jobs, as Raul mentioned. You know, I don't know if you realize, but the preaching team has now been established, you know, been established standalone preaching team, not in need of having to share preachers with Hillview, but we now have a preaching team that's a great bunch of guys, minus one. And the women's ministry, has blossomed, and it's just wonderful to see. And we should be able to just look at those things and say, what's God going to do next year? You know, we're going to get some important advice as we move forward from Joshua. He's old, and don't think I chose him because I'm old, but he's old, and they had gone through many battles taking over the land of Canaan, and but they needed to continue to conquer Canaan, and it was a time of rest. It was a time of rest, and he was giving his advice. He gives four pieces of advice. Let's look at the first one, Joshua 23. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Now it came about after many days when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years, and you have seen all the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting. See, I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I have cut off, from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you, and you will possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. So the first piece of advice that Joshua had for Israel, and this is for us, expect victory by remembering. Expect victory by remembering. Thinking back, that's why I love that we just had an opportunity to think about what God had done in the lives of two dear brothers in 2023. You know, he starts out and he says, rest on every side. He says, God has fought for you. You know, I think of Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. It sounds a little schizophrenic. Paul's saying, I, but Christ. I, but Christ. I, but Christ. And that's exactly what it is. You know, the person that says God fought for you. Now, there was actual occasions prior to this where God literally fought for them. But there might have been a soldier with blood still on his sword that said, wait a minute, I fought. But what God's saying is, I'm the one that gave you the victory. I'm the one that ran over them. I'm the one that gave the ability for one to run off 1,000. And it wasn't your sword or your swordsmanship, but it was I who did the work. You know, he says, now more will be set apart to be defeated. God has victory set aside for you. He says, don't forget that I fought for you and I'm going to fight for you again. Hey, and the people that you have to defeat, I've actually set them apart for you to defeat them. He who began a good work in you, what does it say? He will complete it. He will complete it. I think it's a wonderful thing to know as believers that the battles that we are going to face in 2024, God has already declared that we have the victory. Think back on 2023. Maybe you've had some victory in your character. Maybe you've had victory in reaching out to others or in unity among the believers. You know, we heard from the young man, Raul, and from the less than young man, Frank. And they shared with us what God's done. What can they expect? Can they expect even greater things? I would say amen to that. How about you and me? Can we look back at 2023, at the victories God's already given us, and can we expect greater things? Did you pray for people's health? You know, we just had a testimony of Sam's mom. Many other, we could go back over a whole calendar of all the people we prayed for, and God healed them. God did his work in his way and his timing. Did you pray for souls to be saved? We've got a few sitting here. I love how Sanjay will always say, Lord, we pray that souls will be saved, baptized, and added to our number. That's a great prayer. How about for provision? Provision of a place to live, provision of food, of a job. We can know that God will answer those same prayers again. You know what this section is basically God saying, trust me. He's saying, look what I already did and know that I'll do it again. You don't need to worry about how skilled they are, how big they are, how violent they are. You don't need to worry about any of that. You can trust me. Brothers and sisters, we can expect victory by remembering what he's already done. Then it brings us to going back to our part. Verse 6. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. The tendency is to think that this first thing means let go and let God. That's not what it means. We need to actually put our hands to the plow. We have work to do and we need to obey God. He says in one translation, be very determined. Very determined. Obedience is not just, I'm going to float from one place to the other. I'm going to obey the Lord the best I can. That won't work. God demands a commitment of our hearts. There's nothing passive about it. And he goes on, he says, keep and do everything that is written. Everything. We can't pick and choose. We can't just rip out pages from the Bible and say, well, that doesn't apply to me, or oh, that's a little too hard, or I'm just this way, or I'm that way. That's not open to us. He says, obey everything. It's an amazing thing. He says, God fought for you, but then he moves right into their need to be obedient. Obey the word. You know, we're going to be looking at the book of Romans, and we're going to be looking at later in the book of Romans that we're dead to sin. And again, it's an amazing thing because it says you've been crucified with Christ. You're dead to sin. But he doesn't leave it there. He takes it on to say, now present your members first, no longer to sin. And then he says, present your members to righteousness. That's what he's calling us to do in obeying the word. It's still faith. The Christian life is still by faith. And that faith is, I need to believe God when he says I'm dead to sin. Every fiber in my body says I'm alive to what I'm being tempted at. It's too familiar. It's something I've fallen into over and over, and yet God says you are dead to that. Now, we need to be in the word in order to obey the word. It's awful hard to obey what you're not reading. You know, I think of the testimony of our sister at Hillview, 84-year-old, I believe, that was saved, and she started to rewrite the entire Bible. That's a challenge. I remember another challenge. Frank Blaze, a brother who does not have his sight, he was at Koinonia with the young people, and he said, he pulled out a pocket New Testament that he obviously could not read, and he said, this is what you guys have. And then he pulled out one book that's in Braille, and it's about that thick and about this size, and he slammed it on the desk. He goes, that's what I read, and that's only the book of Luke. And it was challenging these young people. You need to be in the Word. You don't have an excuse. Well, that was years before the Bible is actually on your phone. You know, I challenged the saints last Sunday. I said, I know all of you now have a tablet, you know, because the prisoners, California has given them tablets to work with. And there's multiple translations of the Bible on that tablet. Isn't it sad that we take the Bible out of the schools and then we give it back to them once they're in prison? But the Word of God is where all the power is. If we're not in the Word of God, we're not going to be able to obey it. Then the next thing is, be in the world, but not of the world, verses 7 through 13, so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, if you know the story of Israel, the sad thing is that outcome that he's speaking of is exactly what happened. They literally were dragged off, many of them killed, dragged off to captivity because they disobeyed and turned their back on the Lord. So when he says, first he says, remember what great things I've done in your life, and I will do that again. I will do great things. Then he says, but you need to obey. And you need to be diligent in that obedience. And now he's giving a little hint as to what's involved. And he says, be in the world, but not of the world. He says, do not associate. It literally means do not come among them. And we know from Scripture that that's not saying don't associate in the sense of, oh, you're an unsaved person. I stay away from me. That's not what it's saying. But we need to not have that common bond with those that are in the world. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. Do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Scripture is very clear. Do not associate. And I would say, do associate with the world if you're reaching them for Christ, if that's your sole and primary goal. And that might mean that you're going to play pickleball, Charlie. You might play pickleball with people that don't know the Lord for, I was going to say 100 years. I don't think it'd last that long. Maybe for 10 years before you get down to the nitty-gritty of the gospel. That's important. We need to spend time with people that don't know the Lord. There's no other way they're going to come to know the Lord if the believers that are around them don't spend time with them. But if Charlie finds that pickleball and his pickleball friends becomes priority in his heart, then there's a problem. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. So the question is, where's the heart? It's not a list of do's and don'ts that keep us clean. It's not a list of outward structures that keep us holy. He goes on, he says, or make anyone swear by them or serve them or bow down to them. That's when it's deeper. You can almost think of yourself as you're in a large pool of quicksand and there's large rocks that you've been given to stand on. And the Lord's saying, don't step your foot into that quicksand. And when it gets to this point of swear by them or serve them or bow down to them, that quicksand's taking you down. Because the world is teamed up with the devil and your own sin nature against you. It's giving to self what the world offers. Ephesians chapter 5, turn to verse 7. Ephesians 5, verse 7. We'll read through verse 12. Because there's a problem for all most Christians. Most of us have a Monday morning. Monday morning, we got to go back to work or we're going to school. And we're surrounded by people that don't love the Lord, that will not come up to you and say, how's your walk doing? They really won't. They really don't care. In fact, they care that you go the opposite direction. Scripture's really clear is people are not just content with their own sin, but they want to give hearty approval to those who do the same. Verse 7, we'll read through verse 12. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Verse 12, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Sometimes just even our language, the words we use, can reflect where our heart is going when it comes to the world's influence. Sometimes the things that matter the most to us are very different than what matters the most to the Lord. We need to be focused with our hearts on what's eternal. Does it mean you can't enjoy certain things? Of course it doesn't. But it does mean that the priority of our heart needs to be the Word of God and the souls of men and women. You know, one time my car was broken down and I couldn't make it to the Hillview Retreat. And I went to PBC North in Cupertino. And this brother was preaching, and I was just amazed by his transparency. He said that he previously had a struggle with pornography. He's the pastor of the church, and he is telling us in a large group of his struggle. And he went on to explain how he gained victory over that. Can I get that water? Joy is right there on the floor. I'm not going to last much longer if I don't. Thanks. And this brother went on to explain how what the devil wanted to use to bring him down, the Lord used to give him solid footing. And it was based on this passage that I heard this message. it was the following. He had been struggling with that, and he's in a fancy department store, and there's a mannequin, literally, whether you believe it or not, holding a Playboy book open as part of their display. And as he walked up to that, he's, okay, I've got two choices right now. Because he was studying this passage. I can either be quiet and fall back into it again, or I can expose it. So he, instead of looking, he went and asked for the manager. And he said, this is a very degrading thing to have. This is not what should be part of your display. And he says, I'm not just saying this as a Christian. I'm saying this as a customer. This is not something you should have as part of your display. And the woman said to him, it's interesting because I've had two other people complain about it. But they're both old women. You're the first young man that's complained about it. And he said, well, all I can say is you need to get rid of it. And he said that that day he gained permanent victory over that sin in his life. Why? Because the neutral ground doesn't work. Neutral ground of just saying, well, that's what you do. I'm going to try my best to stay away from it. Doesn't work. It's only when you expose it. It says, but rather expose it. So that's why Joshua was calling out very clearly what was going on. You know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We see that with Joshua. We actually have a plaque that was given to us by the Flemings in Spanish that says that. But the problem is, right before that, he says, oh, by the way, the other gods, they live on this corner, they're over down here, they're over there. And he basically gives you the address of all the other gods and says, you want to follow those gods? That's where they are. Go ahead. So the advice he's giving us is be in the world, but not of the world. Proverbs says, bad company corrupts good morals. John 17 reminds us, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to protect them from the evil one. 1 John says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. And I love that the love of God is in the middle of all of this. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, verse 12, going back to Joshua 23, these which remain with you, and intermarry with them so that you associate with them and they with you. He's bringing up a real issue of the heart. It's very saddening when a believer can actually look this and many other scriptures in the face and marry someone that doesn't know the Lord. But I think it goes much broader than that. He's saying don't loan your heart out to someone that doesn't know the Lord in any way, stretch or form. And I think each of us knows to what degree we've dipped our toe into those waters. So if you want a social distance, there's a time and a place to social distance in the context of just not being part of what the world has to offer. Then finally, the fourth point is not only does he tell us to remember and expect victory, call us to obey, tell us to stay out of the world, but he brings it back to him. Verse 14. Now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls, that not one word of the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. It would be an interesting thing if we could sit for a few minutes and think about 2023. How many times have you said you were going to do something and didn't do it? That might be a little uncomfortable. Or how many times has someone said they were going to do something and they didn't fulfill what they said they were going to do? That's not fun, is it? That's why Scripture says, let every man be found a liar and let God be found true. The one who is 101%, if it was possible, 101% faithful is the Lord himself. I love what it says here. Which the Lord your God spoke concerning you, none of it has failed. All have been fulfilled. Not one of them has failed. Think about that. The Lord is saying, guess what? I'm faithful. And I love that Joshua is saying, you know, I'm leaving. I know I'm dying. But you can look to the Lord. You can look to the Lord. You can look back at what he's done. You can look to obey him. You can look to be separate from the world. And you can give your life to him completely because he's faithful. One of the biggest hindrances for people coming to the Lord is not knowledge. People understand that the wages of sin is death. They know that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. They know that he paid the complete penalty. They know that he loves them unconditionally. But what holds them back? The unwillingness to submit to him as Lord and Savior. The unwillingness to let him be God and stop being God themselves. I know when I was 21, and I'm not going to take you back that far, but when I was 21 and the gospel was shared with me and I saw the check, the wages of sin is death, I knew that the problem was I needed to repent and trust Christ as my Savior. But I said, I'll look you up, Kevin. I'll look you up in 50 years. I'm not even 50 years later. And I said, give me 50 years because I want to enjoy my life. I was basically saying, I want to be the Lord of my life. I want to be the boss. I want to continue in my sin. Let me be. And he let me go. Praise the Lord. The Lord didn't let me go. 3 days later, I realized if I die now, it's forever. I die separate from Christ, and I have no hope. And so 3 days later, I got saved. And it was fun seeing Kevin on that Sunday. And he said, so what have you done with what we've talked about? Oh, I took care of that. And I very flippantly said, oh, I'm good. And he had to pull me into a room to figure out that, yeah, I really was born again. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness. He's always, always, always faithful. We're going to face challenges. We need to know his promises. If God is faithful, we need to know what he promises us. It's a good exercise when you have your time alone with the Lord, write down a promise and then carry it with you. And God will faithfully remind you and show you that he's good. Let's look to the Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you call us to remember the great things that you've done, not just in 2023, but throughout our lives. Lord, even the fact that you kept us safe and alive until we could get saved is a wonderful thing. Lord, thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to when we have fears about the future, help us to trust you and help us to obey and in our obedience to stay separate from the world. And as we do that, help us to realize you're faithful, even when we are not. Just want to thank you for this advice from Joshua, your servant. Thank you that it applies to us today. Just thank you for the year that's ahead. We look forward to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.